Good evening, everybody. This is Sports Betting Tips, episode 42, and it is a good evening because the Toronto Raptors are playing the Boston Celtics in a major litmus test game tonight in Boston. Joining me tonight on the podcast is Josh Lewenberg from TSN. He's the Raptors reporter on air. He does TV, radio. He writes for the website. He's as well versed in the Raptors as he is in the Boston Celtics. And so, Josh, I'm gonna throw it right to you tonight. What are we gonna see up in Boston tonight from these two teams that are, one's doing a hell of a lot better than the other? I covered Boston and Brooklyn the other night, and they were a mess. But what are we gonna see out of this game tonight? Go right ahead.
I think you hit on it right there, Chris. I think we can be more confident in what we're gonna see from one team, the visitors, than we are about the other, the home team. The Raptors have been pretty consistent lately. I mean, there was the one blip on the radar there in San Antonio, one of maybe their worst loss of the season. And they bounced back in a big way since, winning five games in a row. But the Celtics, I mean, they've been the wild card this year, not just between those two teams, but even in the Eastern Conference, the big five in the East, the top-heavy conference right now. The Celtics have been the clear fifth team in that group, and you don't really know from one night to the next which version of the Celtics you're going to get. And that's bizarre, obviously, because of how much of a consensus favorite they were to come out of the East going into the season. But they got off to that slow start, 10-10 in the first 20 games. All of a sudden they win eight in a row, and we think, okay, well, they figured it out. They're the Celtics again. But then they go 7-8 in their last 15 games, and now it's the defense of all things that is falling off. So they've been really inconsistent, and even now, more than halfway through the season, I have no idea who they are or what their identity is, and that seems strange to say about a Brad Stevens team.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I saw them out in Brooklyn the other night, and they were missing a couple key players, most notably Kyrie Irving. But in the previous game against Orlando, Kyrie got upset that the final shot went to Jason Tatum. And when they played out in Brooklyn, D'Angelo Russell just had a crazy good third quarter, and the Celtics found themselves down in a 27-point hole, and the fans of Brooklyn were chanting, "Kyrie's leaving, Kyrie's leaving." And, strange things happen in the NBA, and Kyrie leaving could be part of the equation, especially if the Boston Celtics find out that Anthony Davis is all of a sudden made available, because if they can't have Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving on the team this season together, they can next season together, but they cannot this season together. So what's your reading on Kyrie Irving and whether or not he may be traded in season, and whether they might hand the reins over to Terry Rozier?
Well, as you know, Chris, things change so quickly in this league, and it's fascinating because early on in the season, it certainly sounded like Kyrie had committed to staying in Boston, and it sounded like or seemed like Boston wanted to keep him around, but that was at a time when the Celtics were expected to be the best team in the Eastern Conference, and I imagine Kyrie had that same expectation, but things have changed, and maybe they change again. Maybe in a couple weeks from now, the Celtics go on another run, they get hot, and all of a sudden things are good, and it's easy for things to be good when you're winning. But right now, yeah, there seems to be some uncertainty there, and it wouldn't surprise me if this team does fail to live up to expectations, if all of a sudden there are some big questions being asked in the offseason. And if if that does happen, maybe Kyrie does reconsider, or Boston even reconsiders and thinks maybe we go in a different direction. And I don't just think that's limited to Boston. I mean, obviously the big topic of conversation in Toronto all season has been the future of Kawhi Leonard. And I'm pretty adamant that I think the result of this season for the Raptors will go a long way in determining what Kawhi Leonard's decision is. Now, I mean, they could make the finals, the Raptors could, and he could still decide to leave, of course, but I think it's a lot tougher to leave a situation where your team has met or exceeded expectations than if they fail to live up to it. And I think that's the case probably in Boston and Toronto right now with their best players.
And, like you said, things change quickly in the NBA. The NBA trade deadline is February 7th. And the offers that are out there on February 5th, they're not the same offers that are going to be out there on February 6th or even on the morning of February 7th. You know, teams play their cards very close to the vest, and they hold off their best offer until it's really time to go. So the guy to keep an eye on there is Anthony Davis. And if Anthony Davis somehow comes out and says, you know what, I want to change the scenery and I want it now, he doesn't have all the leverage because he's got another year left on his deal. But at the same time, the folks at Clutch Sports are going to be working with Dell Demps and the Benson family and the people in New Orleans for years to come. And so you got to keep Clutch Sports happy because you're going to be wanting to work with them in the future. So, again, the big question mark there is if Anthony Davis wants a trade, when does he make that known and how does he make that known? But, Josh, let's turn back to the Raptors because they're playing great ball. They've won 7 of 8. The only loss was at San Antonio. And then now they've won 5 in a row, Milwaukee, Indiana, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Washington. Two of those teams are real quality teams, Milwaukee and Indiana. Brooklyn is going to be a playoff team, and they're probably one or two trades away from being a playoff team that can get into the second round. Your observations on the relative strengths and merits of the teams in the outside of the top five in the Eastern Conference, and let's start with Brooklyn.
Brooklyn they're an interesting team to me because you look at the personnel and the talent they have there, and it doesn't necessarily jump out at you, at least not in the top-tier all-star type of talent that a lot of the upper-tier teams have in the Eastern Conference. But they play really hard. I mean, the game against Toronto in Toronto is probably an exception to that, at least in the second half when the Raptors pulled away and blew them out. But for the most part, I mean, they beat Toronto in overtime in Brooklyn earlier this season. They play really hard. They're well coached. And Kenny Atkinson, I mean, he's done a good job of getting the most out of that team, out of those guys. They've got some good veteran guys, a couple of former Raptors in Damari Carroll and Ed Davis that have been playing well for them. And it seems like D'Angelo Russell, whenever he sees the Raptors, he goes off. He's one of many Raptor killers in the NBA.
D'Angelo Russell is probably one of their number one trade assets. The guy, he runs hot and cold like a leaky faucet, and he doesn't get to the foul line a lot. But they have, you know, their two best players right now who are not injured, because I'm going to leave Caris LeVert off this list, are Spencer Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell. And Ed Davis, the guy you mentioned, he's playing backup center behind Jared Allen. I keep wondering, is this the team where Enes Kanter's going to end up on? And Enes Kanter's in the news today because Turkey's asking to have him extradited, and he's not on the trip with the Knicks in London because he wanted to be. He feared getting assassinated by Turkish intelligence in London. So, but back to your team and looking at the schedule ahead. Obviously, Boston tonight, and then a 3-game homestand. You got an easy one against Phoenix, although you never know with Phoenix. They've pulled off a couple upsets lately. That's tomorrow night, and then Memphis is in Saturday night. And then the Sacramento Kings are in on Tuesday night. Then it's back on the road, Indiana, Houston, and Dallas. That's not exactly an easy schedule because it's followed up by Milwaukee, Clippers, Philadelphia. And the only cupcake on there is Phoenix. When you look at the Raptors' schedule, Josh, how do you see them performing over those next 8 to 10 games against quality competition?
Well, I think if nothing else, Nick Nurse and the Raptors are probably thrilled to have a little bit of time in between games now all of a sudden because their first half schedule was really tough. Just through Christmas, they had played the most games in the NBA. They didn't have very much in the way of two days off in between games. It was either back-to-backs or maybe a day in between games. So they were dealing with injuries. They didn't have a lot of practice time. Now all of a sudden, there's a little bit more room, man. A couple days off before this Boston game. They have Sunday and Monday off before the game on Tuesday. So they're starting to get healthy, which I think is a big thing for them, not only obviously so that they can start winning games and playing well and seeing what they have, what they don't have, what works, what doesn't work. But even just in terms of building chemistry going into the playoffs, I mean, at one point recently, the Raptors were without one of Lowry or Leonard, their two All-Stars. They were without at least one of those guys in half of their games up until they got Lowry back from his injury recently. So the schedule, I mean, it's not the easiest, but I think they're just happy now to have a little bit of practice time, get those guys in the gym, and get their team healthy, really for the first time all season. They've only had their fully healthy roster available to them in one game so far this season.
And to have a 33-12 record despite that is kind of amazing. And so let's look at tonight. Let's look at tonight's game. The Raptors are underdogs. They're getting 2.5 points from the Celtics. Kawhi Leonard is probable, and Kyrie Irving is probable. So, look, the Raptors aren't going to be at full strength until JV comes back. But when you look at that line, what are your thoughts?
Well, and they're also without OG Anunoby, and he's a guy that could have been useful in a game like this, going up against versatile wing players like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. He's a guy that can play the three and the four, and he's a really good defender. So I think that hurts them a little bit in this game, too. It's really tough to predict because of what we talked about earlier. The Celtics are so unpredictable. You don't know what version of the Boston team you're going to get tonight. But, I mean, they're a team. The Raptors have been gassing them up over the last few days. It's funny. There's so much gamesmanship, it seems like, whenever these two teams face each other. It's the other team is great. No, the other team is great. The other coach is great. No, that coach is great. So they're certainly expecting this to be a battle, and I tend to think this is going to be a battle too. Boston is really good at home, even as they've been going through this rough stretch over these last few weeks. They're still pretty good at home. So I would tend to go with Boston here. I think they're probably favored for a reason. But the Raptors, I mean, they lost in overtime the last time they were in this building. I think the game probably means more for the Celtics just because of how they've been playing lately. But I'm sure the Raptors would love to go into that building, get some revenge from the last time they were in there, and also be in the driver's seat for the tiebreaker because, of course, these two teams split their first two meetings. Whoever takes this game is going to be in a pretty good spot going into the fourth meeting later in the season.
Yeah, it's an interesting game, and there's some interesting over-under point spreads that I'm going to run past you. These are individual point totals, but first I want to put in a plug. This show lives on GetMoreSports.com, but the guys paying the bills are one of the top offshore sports betting books in the world. That's BetDSI.com. They're out of San Jose, Costa Rica. And if you go to BetDSI.com, or if you're overseas or in Canada and you go to BetDSI.eu, they will match your first $1,000 of American money with another $1,000 of American money. All you got to do is enter bonus code BBALL1000, all capital letters, BBALL1000, and they turn $1,000 into $2,000, and then you get to mess around with some money. But back to you, Josh. Listen to this one. Kyle Lowry's over-under for points is 13.5. 13.5 for, I mean, I know the guy's probable, but Kawhi Leonard's over-under is 27.5, which seems right about on the money. He tends to be a pretty good big-game player. Kyrie Irving's total points is 22.5, and Jason Tatum's total points is 17.5. On all those numbers, let's start with Kawhi. Does he go over or under 27.5?
I mean, just based on the way he's been playing recently, you kind of want to say over. I mean, it's been 19 games in a row that he's scored at least 20 points, so we have a pretty good idea he's going to hit that. That, by the way, is his career longest streak. It's actually the longest streak of at least 20 points in the NBA this season, but recently, I mean, there's been a couple of 40-point games this month. I would tend to go over there. As you mentioned, he's been a big game player this year. He's had a couple of 31 point games in both of the first two meetings against Boston. And he's played really well when the Raptors have been on U.S. national TV this year, the ESPN and the TNT games.
As the host hits over. Do you think I'm lying? And then what about Kyrie Irving. His over under is 22.5, and he's coming in as into the game as probable. What do you think about that one?
He's played really well against the Raptors too historically. It's tough though, given again how unpredictable they are as a team. I mean, defensively they are stronger than they are offensively. So you think maybe this could be a low scoring game in Boston? I don't know. Kyrie, I think a lot of it comes down to Kyle Lowry and his health as well defensively against Kyrie. Kyle is just coming back from an injury, a back thing. I think I'd probably go over with Kyrie, just over, maybe 23, 24 points.
Yeah, that's a close one. And the over-under on this game is 223.5. And it just shifted to 224, so people are expecting a high-scoring game. But back to Kawhi and the million-dollar question. Kawhi Leonard going to ask for a trade, or is Kawhi Leonard going to play the whole season out with the Toronto Raptors? Now, remember, he's already given up his eligibility for a Supermax extension. He doesn't like the cold, and his desired destination is Los Angeles, with New York a close second. And I ask a lot of Toronto writers and broadcasters this same question. What's your reading, Josh Lewenberg, on whether Kawhi Leonard is going to play out the entire season with the Toronto Raptors?
Oh, yeah, he's playing out the season with the Raptors. I think that's – I'm pretty confident in saying that. As we were saying, I mean, things change quickly, but this is the best team in the Eastern Conference. They've arguably been the best team in the NBA this year. He seems pretty committed to seeing this out, at least for this year, and seeing how far they can get. As I said, I think how they do is going to – go a long way in determining what his plans are in the summer and next season. But at minimum, we can say that he'll be here for the rest of the season, and they'll obviously be trying to make the finals and prove to him that with him here, they can be the type of team that he wants to play on, a winning team.
Well, if he sticks around, he's going to notice that springtime in Toronto is actually quite a nice time to be around. I've been up there now. Well, yeah. Guess what we got coming in New York? It's going to snow, and then it's going to be 9 degrees on MLK Day. So, everybody in New York, do your shoveling on Sunday, and then you know, get your firewood ready for Monday. But, Josh, looking at the Eastern Conference with the Raptors holding a 1-game lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. But they're tied in the loss column going into tonight. There's five teams that everybody says, oh, these are all championship contenders: the Raptors, Bucks, Pacers, Sixers, and Celtics. Then you get to the Heat, Nets, and Hornets are the 6, 7, and 8 teams, and then the Magic and Pistons are below them. And I'm hearing a lot of intel that the Detroit Pistons will trade just about anybody on their team not named Blake Griffin. When you look at the trade market coming up, if you were to point to two or three guys who are guaranteed to move, what guys would you name?
Well, I wonder. I've been thinking about this for the last few weeks as things have been really balanced, I think, in both conferences. Obviously, there are some teams that have fallen out of it intentionally in the Eastern Conference, teams that are playing for lottery balls. In the West, there's a lot more parity. Only really Phoenix is completely out of it, while Memphis and New Orleans have struggled a little bit and are falling out of it. I wonder, with so much parity in the league this year, if that means there'll be fewer sellers and if that means there'll be a quieter trade deadline. I'm looking at Memphis right now because they're a team that got off to that quick start, it looked like, with good health this year. They were going to bounce back from whatever happened over there last year with the injuries. That hasn't happened, at least not over these last month, over these last couple months. Now some injuries have hit. They're struggling. The West is so good, so talented. I'm wondering, with obviously all this information that's come out over the last few days, the reports that maybe Marc Gasol's name could be out there. He's a guy that I would be very interested in. A lot of playoff teams, I'm sure, would love to have him. A lot of teams in the NBA would love to have Marc Gasol. Outside of that, I mean, Atlanta, they've got some veteran players that could be buyout guys. I don't see them. I mean, maybe Bazemore is a guy that could be moved.
Bazemore all over the place. Bazemore and Jeremy Lin. Also Dwayne Dedman.
Yeah.
Dwayne Dedman is going to be an unrestricted free agent, and he could make all the teams better, and he comes at a cheaper price than Marc Gasol.
Yeah, I think that makes some sense, too. I mean, it's just that time of the year where, especially with all that, I guess you can look at the balance either way. The balance could mean, the parity could mean that there are fewer sellers, but the parity also means that there are a lot of teams right now that feel like they're one or two pieces away from really pulling away and making a statement in whichever conference. I think the Raptors may be one of those teams. Another player that could be interesting, of course, is Bradley Beal in Washington. From the people that I've spoken to around the league, it doesn't sound like the Wizards right now have interest in moving Beal. It sounds like they are going to move him. They're asking for an arm and a leg, but he's a guy that would fit in really well with a lot of different teams, Raptors being one of them. I mean, that's always the question around trade deadline time, is how much are you willing to give up for a guy unless he really moves the needle. If he really moves the needle like a Gasol or Beal does, first of all, those are expensive players in terms of the contract number, but also what you'd have to give up. And then with those other guys, the Deadmans, the Jeremy Lins, like those guys, do they move the needle enough to give up whatever it is that they cost?
Yeah, you mentioned Marc Gasol, and here's the thing with Memphis. Memphis owes the number one pick to Boston, and so if Memphis is going to move Marc Gasol, they're going to have to get back multiple number one picks. They want to build that team around Gasol and Conley, and Conley's got, you know, he's got $32 million coming, $32.5 million coming to him next year, $34.5 million coming to him the year after that. But Marc Gasol's got a player option for $25.5 million. Marc Gasol could make a hell of a lot of teams better. But centers, there's so many good ones on so many playoff teams. I'm wondering where exactly he may be the best fit. And, I look at Brooklyn and say, well, if Brooklyn wanted to get him, you know, they'd have to put together a pretty impressive package of picks and players. And Sean Marks is pretty locked in on hanging on to the picks that he's reacquired. Brooklyn's had a tough time putting picks together following the trade that brought Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. Trade deadline time is the best time of the year in the NBA because there's so much out there, and there's literally hundreds of deals being talked about. But, the number of deals that actually go down on a year-to-year basis, it changes. And right now, you know, we've set the over-under at 12.5. Last year, there were 12 deals. The year before that, there were 8. In 2016, there were 9. In 2015 and 2013, there were 12. And so the over-under for this year is 9.5. I wanted to ask you, though, Josh, about Vince Carter, because we were talking about him before we went on the air. Vince came into Vince came back into Toronto with the Atlanta Hawks, and you wrote a nice piece about it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the piece that you wrote and the reception that Vince Carter got in Toronto, because it was certainly much different than the reception Vince Carter had been getting in Toronto in previous years.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'll start with the reception because, things seem to turn for Vince here. Probably 4 years ago, it was the 20th anniversary of the Raptors franchise. They honored him with a tribute video. I mean, they were honoring most of their former players that season. And they were, I think, a little bit reluctant to do it with Vince because up until that point, for many years, it had been like a decade, he was coming back with New Jersey and with Orlando and all those teams and just getting booed out of the building. It was vicious, hostile. I mean, I was in San Antonio for Kawhi, his return back a couple weeks ago, and that was pretty bad, but nothing compared to what those first few games were like when Vince Carter came back to Toronto. But I guess time heals all wounds, as they say. A lot of time has gone by, and the fact that the Raptors are a winning team now, I think, has gone a long way in allowing people to really forgive Vince, for the way things ended here back 15 years ago. So Vince was given a standing ovation. He was with Memphis at the time 4 years ago, and every time he's come back since, the reception has been really positive, including last week when he got a standing ovation. So I think, and then this was sort of the genesis of the piece that I wrote, his legacy here in Toronto is complicated, and it's always going to be complicated. There are people that remember how much he did for the franchise, putting them on the map, growing the game in Canada, and of course the dunks and everything that Vince did on the court during his time with the Raptors. But then there are other people that remember the breakup, the Vince saying he's not going to dunk anymore, and the reports that he was tipping plays off to the other team, the injuries, and then ultimately him asking for a trade, which led to one of the worst deals, I think, in the history of the NBA, which, of course, wasn't his fault. That's on Rob Babcock. But ultimately, that set the Raptors back many, many years. So Vince is a polarizing figure here in Toronto. But in the grand scheme of things, 21 years in the NBA, his time in Toronto, while meaningful, is actually a very small part of the career. So the idea that I had was to speak to the people that know him best or knew him best throughout this very long NBA journey that he's had. I spoke to 21 of his former teammates, one for each year he's been in the league, and asked them for a story, a memorable moment from their time playing with Vince Carter. I spoke to Jason Kidd and Jalen Rose, Alvin Williams, the guys that played with him here in Toronto, Dwight Howard, Marc Gasol, who we talked about, Mike Conley. And it was really interesting because, I was a little bit concerned that I would get a lot of the same type of story. Vince did this dunk, Vince did that dunk in practice. But there was a kind of a diversity to the stories. Jason Kidd told me about how they used to go bowling together in New Jersey and how Vince could bowl with both hands. Ryan Anderson told me that Vince once lent him a car for a few months during his rookie season in Jersey. And then Alvin Williams, I think that was my favorite story, told me about how they went to a mall here in Toronto just before Vince's rookie season. They went to get a PlayStation, and nobody knew who Vince was at the time. They could just walk around, not be bothered, and then not even 3 weeks later, he couldn't go anywhere with Vince without being mobbed. That's how big of a deal he was here in Toronto. So it was a fun piece to write. It was interesting to hear from all these different guys and what they thought about Vince. And I think for me, somebody that's been around the franchise for a long time and saw the way things the fallout and how ugly it was for him here in Toronto, it gave me a different perspective on Vince Carter, the person. We know Vince Carter, the player. I'm familiar with Vince Carter, the player. I don't know him as a person. I feel like I do maybe a little bit more after talking to these guys.
Yeah, my favorite Vince Carter story was the dunk contest out in Oakland when he and Tracy McGrady went at it, and they went at it hard. And Vince won that one, and I think he put his entire arm down the rim after finishing one of his dunks. But that's back when the Raptors had Carter and McGrady, and it looked like they were going to be a perennial championship contender. And, you know, the rest is history. A lot of guys have left Toronto. And then, you know, one of the guys who wanted to stay was DeMar DeRozan, and he got dealt in the Kawhi Leonard trade. And so let's turn back to Kawhi Leonard, because right now, Josh, and I know you're on a hard out, so I'm gonna wrap the show pretty quick. But right now, Kawhi Leonard is on the board at 10-1 as the MVP. How's that look to you as a bet?
I have him at number two right now, currently, in terms of, we're talking about, if the season ends today, I'm giving out the MVP award. I'm giving it to Giannis first. I just think the Bucks have overachieved so much this year. They've been probably the biggest, if not the biggest surprise in the NBA, certainly one of the biggest surprises. And I think they've been really consistent in large part because of how consistent Giannis has been. The other two guys that I would consider right now for MVP, Kawhi being two and then James Harden being three, consistency, I think, is the biggest factor for me in my decision. Kawhi started off the season slowly, a little bit, just because he was shaking off the rust and getting back into game shape and all of that, and then he also took a bunch of games off for rest. And then James Harden got off to a slow start with the team as well, Houston getting off to that slow start. And he's been incredible lately. He's been coming on big time. But I think if we're looking at the big picture right now, start to where we are today, I'd go Giannis 1, Kawhi 2. But, I think that's a pretty good – I would put some money down on Kawhi, if for no other reason than how he's been trending right now. While he's number 2 on my list right now, I think if we're looking at the second half of the season here, I would say Kawhi has gotten better as the season has gone on, to the point now where he's not only playing his best basketball as a Raptor this season, I think he's playing the best basketball of his career. It's so funny because so much of this first half of the season we've spent, and I know Raptors fans have spent asking, well, when is he going to get back to pre-injury form? Not only is he back at pre-injury form, but I think maybe what a lot of us didn't consider is the dude is only 27 years old. He's just now entering his prime. There's a ceiling there, I think, that we haven't even seen, and we're starting to maybe see it now. He's been playing MVP caliber basketball, and he's been doing it, of course, on both ends of the floor, which is something that James Harden doesn't do. So I think Kawhi's in a really good spot right now to potentially win it, especially if the Raptors maintain the best record in the NBA.
Yeah, and if they knock off the Celtics by 42 tonight, a lot of people are going to agree with you. I think with
on ESPN, what James, yeah, that wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, James Harden on a night-to-night basis. He did miss 16 out of 17 a couple of games ago, but then he came back and went just a tad bit nuts last night. So James Harden right now is on the board. He's the favorite. Giannis is second. LeBron James is third at 8-1. Steph Curry is 9-1, and Kawhi Leonard is at 10-1. So, Josh, I want to thank you for joining us on the show. Everybody, you can follow Josh on Twitter at jlu1050. He's the Raptors reporter on air, both for TV and radio, and he writes for the website, and he does a heck of a job. You can follow me at Sheridan Hoops. I've been carrying that Twitter for a while, ever since my the days of Sheridan Hoops being a live website. And there's a little bit of a chance that website comes back to life. We'll see how that goes. There's some negotiations going on. But Josh, again, thanks for joining the show. And I do want to put in one more plug. This show lives on GetMoreSports.com. But if you go to BetDSI.com, or if you're overseas, BetDSI.eu, drop in $1,000 as an initial deposit and use the bonus code BBALL1000, BBALL1000. They'll match up to $1,000 U.S. Right from the get-go. So, Josh, thanks again for coming on the show. Enjoy the game tonight. And with that, I'm going to close it with the same three words I use every single time. Over and out. Enjoy the games tonight, folks.